You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are continuing in our summer school series, and I have been reading the principles out of the Innovations in Play Therapy book, which are essentially the personality characteristics of effective play therapists. And the principles are the 8 that Landreth revised and expanded based on Axline's work. So we've been going through these. We're going to hit the 6th and 7th today. And this has been really interesting because what I observed, which I haven't really shared, but it's been in my head, so I suppose I should make it in your heads too. I think it's really interesting to see how these principles tie into the pillars as well. So there's so much overlap, there's so much carryover in what we do from the child-centered perspective. And I think sometimes that we look at them as isolated skills, isolated tools, isolated tenets. We don't necessarily map and see how all of this would be connected from a higher view. And so as I've been reading through these principles, you can absolutely see how there's an encouragement pillar worked in. You can absolutely see how there's a reflection of feeling pillar worked in. The 8th one, which we haven't gotten to yet, is the limit setting pillar. So we can see that these are actually identified as the effective personality characteristics of effective play therapists, and they're presented as principles, yet they lead us to the use of the pillars and the reflective responses. So I'm hopeful that you see how these really are all connected with a common thread. And that to me is what makes the CCPT model so effective, so robust, so helpful. We always have frameworks and we always have things that serve in conjunction with others. And to me, that means that we always have options in the playroom. And that's one of the reasons why I love CCPT. I've actually had other therapists lately in the coaching calls and on the collective calls, I've had other therapists reference that. That one of the things they appreciate the most is that they fall back on the framework of CCPT because it's there. And I think that that gives us confidence in what we're doing because we know there's a system. So I'm hopeful that you're starting to kind of see how all of this connects as well. All right, so let's move into the 6th principle. I'm reading again from Innovations in Play Therapy, Issues, Process, and Special Populations, edited by Landreth. Here is the 6th principle. The therapist trusts the child's inner direction, allows the child to lead in all areas of the relationship, and resists any urge to direct the child's play or conversation. Let me read that again. The therapist trusts the inner child's direction. The therapist trusts the child's inner direction, allows the child to lead in all areas of the relationship, and resists any urge to direct the child's play or conversation. Okay, so that's the principle. Now let me read parts of the explanation here. The child-centered play therapist is convinced that children carry within themselves unique and exciting possibilities for growth, but this potential is only realized if growth takes place in a nurturing atmosphere. Which we understand, right? We understand the power of the relationship that's formed between the child and the child therapist. And we also understand the power of the environment, which is the playroom, which is a very unique setting that the child is not allowed to be in any other capacity in their lives. So we believe that they carry within themselves unique and exciting possibilities for growth, but this potential is only realized if growth takes place in a nurturing atmosphere. Therefore, the therapist takes a hand-off stance and allows the child to lead the way within the confines of the playroom. The play therapist respects the child's ability to make his own decisions, conveying to the child that he is regarded as worthwhile and important. The therapist doesn't attempt to direct a child's actions or conversation, and no effort is made to control or change the child. All right, let me pause there. So how many times have we felt pressure from a caregiver, parent, or stakeholder to deviate from CCPT? Well, they said that all they do is play, and they said that they have not talked to you one bit about their aggression, and you need to bring up their aggression because they're going to get kicked out of school if they do something one more time. And the whole reason we brought them here is so that they didn't get kicked out of school, and they've not said one word to you about their aggression. And I told them that if they don't talk to you about it, they're not going to get to come play with you again. I just aggregated like 2,700 conversations that I've had with parents over the course of time. Hopefully one parent doesn't say all of that, but parents are going to say some of that to you, right? So we have pressure sometimes. Well, shoot, maybe I should just like say something. Maybe I should just like bring it up subtly in play. Maybe I should just hint at it. Well, we don't attempt to direct a child's actions or conversation, and no effort is made to control or change the child. Why? Because we respect the child's ability to make his own decisions, and that conveys to him that he's worthwhile and important. That's why we don't do those things, because it's a means to an end. The child feels respected, worthwhile, and important. We need a child to feel that from us. Okay, continuing. In the playroom, the child leads and the therapist follows the child's lead. The therapist knows that when ideas are offered, okay, wow, this is important, y'all. I should have prefaced. The therapist knows that when ideas are offered, objects are labeled in the playroom, or decisions are made for the child is deprived of the opportunity to do so for himself. So every time we offer an idea, we suggest something, we give assistance, every time we say what something is, oh, you grabbed the fire engine. Oh, you grabbed the train. You took the jump rope out. Every time we make a decision for the child, they really want to find the scissors and they don't know how to find the scissors. So we just open the drawer for them so they can see it. The child is deprived of the opportunity to do so for himself. And the therapist trusts the child to take the play therapy experience to the areas that the child needs to explore. Self-actualization. You know, in one of the coaching groups I had a while back, one of the therapists brought up a book that she had read, and she was talking about how the play therapist in the book was discussing the fact that every single week a child came in and just vacuumed. And he was having a really difficult time with assessing how that was therapeutically valuable and should there be some kind of intervention and what is possibly happening for the child. And, you know, vacuuming surely can't be doing much therapeutically for the child. And it was this whole process that the therapist, Jason is the author of the book, and he's going through this process of, I finally realized that that child really just needs and wants to vacuum. And if we trust that the child will take the play therapy experience to the areas the child needs to explore, then everything the child chooses to do is meaningful and significant. We're not going to change it. We're not going to direct it or lead it or suggest it. The child will go where the child needs to go. And then the last sentence, the therapist becomes a sounding board for the child's personality so the child can perceive himself as he is. Oh my gosh, I need to put that on a t-shirt or something. The therapist becomes a sounding board for the child's personality so the child can perceive himself as he is. That's looking glass self, right? That's how self-concept is formed. It's what comes back to the child from other people. So we are the sounding board for the child's personality so that they can perceive themselves. And guess what? When they perceive themselves the way they are, they will naturally make self-enhancing corrections. they will naturally do the work that they need to do. Because when the sounding board puts back to them that they're maladaptively coping, or they are dysregulated, or they have some kind of dysfunction, they'll recognize it and work on it. So again, sixth principle, the therapist trusts the child's inner direction, allows the child to lead in all areas of the relationship, and resists any urge to direct the child's play or conversation. All right, seventh principle. One left after this. So next week we'll be done with this section. Seventh principle, the therapist appreciates the gradual nature of the therapeutic process and does not attempt to hurry it. Oof. Easier said than done sometimes. Man, when you have a kid that is so slowly moving and there's just this delay of phase shift and there's this delay of stage shift and parents aren't seeing anything and it's hard for you to even see anything, wouldn't it be so nice if we could just hurry things along a little bit? But the therapist appreciates the gradual nature of the therapeutic process and does not attempt to hurry it. Okay, so let me read a little bit. The therapist is careful not to rush the process. The therapist realizes that the child cannot be made to, quote, grow faster, just like you can't expect a tree to grow any faster than a tree grows. You can't expect a flower to grow any faster than a flower grows. The therapist realizes that the child cannot be made to grow faster and allows the child to move at his own pace. The therapist keeps in mind that all worthwhile change must come from within the child. This is why the child-centered model should be the only model that's ever used with kids. Because in contrast, and I'm not trying to be critical of other models, I'm painting a contrast here. If the therapist directs change, you need to fill in the blank. Here, let's do this worksheet that will teach you to fill in the blank. Hey, if you just learn how to recognize emotions on people's faces, you'll be able to fill in the blank. Okay, so the directive nature of, quote, teaching a child, not only is it not allowing the child to move at their own pace, but it flies in the face of the concept that all worthwhile change must come from within the child. When you provide directive activities, that's coming from without. And how will a child really internalize and really embrace and really implement what they're learning when it's coming from outside? It's a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. It may help them in that moment with that one issue, but what's the long-term gain there? Nothing, because it didn't come from within the child. Okay, the therapist keeps in mind all worthwhile change must come from within the child and does not prod, push, or suggest. We just trust the process and we trust the child. Continuing, the play therapist recognizes and accepts that only when the child is ready will the child express feelings or make changes in his or her life. Recognizes and accepts that only when the child is ready will the child express feelings or make changes in his or her life. That should become your standard commentary when you meet with parents for consultations. Not only can I not expect the child or force the child to, quote, grow faster, all worthwhile change must come from within the child. And finally, the child will only change and express feelings when the child is ready. So if your child is not quite ready yet, we give them more time. There's no use in me prodding, pushing, or suggesting. I recognize and accept that only when your child is ready will your child express feelings or make changes. And obviously your child isn't ready yet, but they're working on it and they're getting there. And they will at some point be ready. They're just not yet. So they can't be made to grow faster, and it has to come from within. So we're going to be patient and trust the child and trust the process. All right, seventh principle, the therapist appreciates the gradual nature of the therapeutic process and does not attempt to hurry it. All right, y'all, one last principle next week, and then we're going to move into some other seminal works, other seminal texts, and we'll continue this summer school series throughout the rest of this summer. This has been so helpful. I've gotten a lot of feedback. I appreciate that you all are enjoying really diving into the origins of what we do and understanding it at a very classical level. So I think this has been a really cool thing for us to do together. So thanks for coming on the journey with me. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your encouragement. If you want to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you. Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. If you would like weekly interactions with me on live Zoom calls, I'd love to have you in the collective. So you're more than welcome to check that out, ccptcollective.com. And you can get a trial, check it out, be with 120 or so other child-centered play therapists all over the world. It's so much fun. We have a lot of fun on our calls and all kinds of opportunities for you to engage and interact with other like-minded people. So I'm happy to share this journey with you. Happy to share time with you each week. I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Love y'all. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.